Romans chapter 1, and as we started last week, we're going verse by verse through the book of Romans, and we kind of covered the first half of the book of Romans last week, and we're going through the second half here today, and I feel like it's been coming up a lot of scripture recently, preaching against the LGBT, and it's not really intentional, but we don't avoid anything in the Bible, and so it's what the Bible says, we go through it, and that's actually what the second half of Romans is about. So I think next week, we probably won't be on that topic so much. That's what's coming up here in the Bible in Romans chapter 1, the second half. And the name of the sermon is The Vile Filth of This World. The Vile Filth of This World. Now, last week what we talked about is basically how salvation is to everybody the same way all over the world. And if you're an atheist or you reject God, you are without excuse, the Bible says. But notice what it says here in verse number 18 in your Bible. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." And we talked about last week how that's kind of mainly referring to when natural disasters take place. That's God's wrath, God's judgment on earth. But notice the last half of this where it says, "Who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What the Bible is saying is this, that there are people in this world that when they hear the truth of God's word or they hear the truth of Jesus, they consider it unrighteous. Uh-huh. They hate that message. For example, if you say that Jesus is the only way to heaven, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you know, some people get offended by that message. They're like, "How dare you say that Jesus is the only way to heaven?" And they get mad at it, and they can end up turning against God, and they consider the truth of God's word as being unrighteousness. Or they hear sermons against certain sins. Sermons against doing drugs or drinking or whatever, and they consider it unrighteous. They don't agree with what the Bible says, and they hold the truth in unrighteousness. And what can develop is someone who ends up turning against God, and they hate God's word, and they end up becoming a wicked and vile person. Okay, the Bible says they hold the truth in unrighteousness. We know people in this world that you talk to them about what the Bible says, and they hate the message of the Bible. They can't stand the message of the Bible. Those are people that are holding the truth in unrighteousness. Notice what it says in verse 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." So everybody in this world, it's been manifest unto them that God is real. It's innately born inside of you. Okay? "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So if somebody rejects Jesus Christ, they are without excuse.
Right.
They will die. They will go to hell.
That's right.
Okay? Verse 21. It says, "Because that when they knew God..." So this is giving more information about these people. And it says, "Because that when they knew God..." Now these are not people that are saved. These are not people that have believed on Jesus Christ. But they've heard about God. It says they know God. They've heard the truth of God's word, and they hold it in unrighteousness. It says they knew God. They had heard about God. They had heard things about God. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They knew about God, but they rejected what the Bible said. They rejected God's word. Okay? What you must understand in life is that God is not going to change for you. God is who He is. And you can be mad at what the Bible says. That's not going to change God's opinion or who God is. And look, all of us have seen things in the Bible before, and our natural reaction was, "I don't agree with that. It does not seem right." But that doesn't change reality. And see, people can be mad at what God says. That's not going to change who God is, though. And people hear the truth of God's word and they say, "Well, you know what? I don't like what the Bible says. I don't like the God of the Bible." That doesn't change the fact that He is the God of this world, whether you like Him or not. They knew God. They glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. Look, you know, we ought to be thankful for just the mercies God provides us every day. He put us in this world. He gave us an innate belief that God is real. And He's blessed us in so many ways. But, you know, people, instead of being thankful what God did, they just got mad at what the Bible says. It says, "Neither were thankful,
but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And so people that go down this road, because in Romans 1, what you're seeing is a downward spiral. It's slowly going down and down. They're getting worse. They're getting worse. They reject God's word, and they become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then if you try to give this person the gospel, you know, 10 years down the road, they're just rejected. They've rejected God's word completely. Their heart is darkened. They don't want to hear what God says. It says their foolish heart was darkened. Notice verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And so what the Bible's saying is these are people that think they're wise. They think they're intelligent. They think they know what they're talking about. I mean, isn't it true when you listen to these really intelligent evolutionists out there, the Richard Dawkins of the world? I mean, we talked about this last week. They think they're really smart, don't they? I mean, if you would tell them, hey, I believe the earth is 6,000 years old, I don't believe in evolution, they're going to think you're bobo. They think you're stupid. They think it's ridiculous. They think it's foolish. They think that what we believe is dumb. And that's fine. I think what they believe is dumb. I mean, it is dumb. It's stupid, the things that they believe, okay? They think they're really smart, and they profess themselves to be wise, and you know what? It doesn't matter how smart they are by the world standards. The Bible says they're fools, okay? Right. Turn to Psalm 14 in your Bible, Psalm 14. Now, I do want you to understand, and we're going to see this here in Romans 1, I think it's a mistake, though, to think that Romans 1 is only referring to atheists before it starts talking about the LGBT, because that's not actually what the Bible teaches, okay? Because you can actually be somebody a part of some other religion who hears the truth of God's word and hold that as unrighteousness and reject it. Now, a great application is certainly atheists. I mean, there's a great documentary online. You know, I recommend type it in, Professing Themselves to be Wise, I think is the name. Is that the name of it? Professing Themselves to be Wise. Great documentary. That is a great application of this verse. It certainly applies to atheists. That's not the only group it applies to, though, and we're going to see that during the sermon. But certainly atheists are a great example of people that think they're really wise and they think they're really smart, and in reality, according to the Bible, they are fools. Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. See, the Bible says that if you do not believe in God, you are a fool. That is what the Bible teaches. And look, you know what? It makes sense to us because all of us believe in God. It's like, how in the world could you not believe in God? It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I was raised in a Christian home. I heard about, you know, Jesus. I heard the name of Jesus when I was a baby. And it's just like, to me, not believing in God, I don't get it. But then you look at a lot of countries in Asia, and aren't a lot of countries in Asia like half atheists? They don't believe in God. I mean, go to China. And I don't know what the percentages are, but probably half of people don't believe in God. I mean, go over to Europe and like half of people just don't believe in God. And it blows my mind because I've never even doubted whether God was real. I mean, I know God's real. I mean, it's just obvious there's a God. And look, but people can go down this road and they can become a fool is what the Bible says. Okay. Turn back to Romans 1. Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, what we talked about last week as we gave 10 reasons why people can become atheists, we gave a lot of reasons, and some of those are very sincere reasons. For example, you know, we talked about when people are molested. Of course, that could cause somebody to want to reject God and be angry, or people go through travesties in life. They go through a lot of turmoil and problems, and they can end up being mad at God or whatever, and they can go down this road and they can become an atheist. But remember the number one thing we talked about, and it was not my list. It was just a secular list they had came up with, is that, you know, a lot of people are atheists because they just don't want any rules. They don't want anyone telling them yes and no, okay? They're just like a little baby that it's like, no, I want to do what I want to do. It's like, you should have learned that when you're 2 or 3 years old from your parents. It's like, you know, but they don't want to have any rules to answer to. And remember what the Bible said, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. So they hear what God says, and God says, you know what, it's wrong for you to drink, and they just get mad at God instead of just believing what the Bible says. And so they just don't like the truth of God's word. And basically they're becoming an atheist because of the fact they don't like the God of the Bible. Not because it's, I mean, is it more logical to believe that nothing was here, and then nothing exploded, and then 4.5 billion years later, you know, here we are today. I mean, is that logical? It's like, and I understand the Earth was 4.5 billion years ago, whenever, what, 20 billion years ago, whatever they say, and then the Earth's 4.5 billion years old. I mean, is that more logical? It doesn't really seem very logical to me. I mean, there's a million just common sense ways that evolution makes no sense, okay? There's thousands, if not tens of thousands, of symbiotic relationships in nature where two things need each other to survive. This will die without this, and yet this will die without this. And yet, which one evolved first then, if they both need each other to survive, okay? Is it logical that that whale in the ocean will one day be walking on land like as a cow? I mean, that's ridiculous. It's absurd. They think it's intelligent. I hear it and I'm like, man, that sounds foolish to me. It's like, you know, I didn't think I was dumb. I mean, I went to college, I got a math degree, but it's just like, that sounds foolish. And everyone's like, oh, this is just, you know, science. This is a fact. Even though they have no proof, they have no evidence. It's ridiculous. But they think it's intelligent. And you know what? The reality is, there's people in this world, they would use any excuse to not believe in God. They would use any excuse not to believe in the God of the Bible. There could be some new theory. I mean, one of the big theories, I think it's called punctuated equilibrium. Who knows punctuated equilibrium? Has anybody heard that term? Punctuated equilibrium is this. Basically, you know, because of the fact they're not seeing, you know, evolution take place, because when you have a child, you know, you're a husband and a wife, what's born to you is a human being, right? And they're not seeing these intermediate steps like they thought they would 150 years ago. And so the new theory that's out there, I think it's like 15 years old, punctuated equilibrium, is that evolution happens by leaps and bounds. So you'll go like 1,000 years and nothing happens, and then just boom, all kinds of evolution's taking place. You're having a child and it's turning into this and this and this, and in like 100 years a frog turns into a human or whatever. Like, that's what they're teaching. And the reason why they're doing that is they just are not the fossils, so they start teaching punctuated equilibrium, I'm pretty sure is the term, okay? I could be getting the term wrong. I think it's punctuated equilibrium, where basically evolution, instead of being this slow process, it's like nothing, nothing, and then boom, nothing, nothing, then boom. Why? Because they don't have any proof for their theories. They talk about, I want to find this missing link. You're not missing one link, you're missing the entire chain. You're missing every single link. It's not like, oh, this one link between man and ape and we can find it. You're missing everything. There's nothing out there. And it's just like, even when they find a fossil, then it turns out they're like, oh, the person like lied about it, because it's some scientist who's gonna lose his grant money, he's gonna lose all of his money. So he's like, hey, this is the missing link. And then 20 years later they find out, oh, that was like, you know, a pig or whatever. And it's just like, and this is reality. If you've ever looked up anything on evolution, everything I'm telling you is the truth. They don't have the missing links. And the world is brainwashing you into thinking, hey, it's all there. None of it's there. It's a joke, it's laughable, but they think it makes more sense than just believing there's a God. Why is it? Because they do not want to believe in God. See, there's people that get deceived and brainwashed and they're not bad people, but there's other people that just don't want to believe in God and they are bad people and they'll use any excuse not to believe in God. It's not because it's more logical to them, they just do not want to believe in the God of the Bible, and that's what you're famous evolutionists, that's who they are. Now, a lot of people believe in evolution in this world, probably 50% or whatever. But look, the ones that are really famous, like the Richard Dawkins, they're like the false preachers, okay? There's no hope for those people, okay? They're not gonna ever change their mind about what they believe. And so notice what it says in verse 23. And look, these same people, if you listen to these famous evolutionists, you can see clips of Richard Dawkins online talking about how pedophilia is not a bad thing.
Right.
And it's just like this person who's acting like he's a moral authority. He thinks Christianity is so evil, and then he's up there saying, you know, pedophilia, not a big deal. It's like, what a joke. I mean, it shows what's in the heart of that wicked person.
Right.
Verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So in verse 23, you could certainly apply this to atheists that basically worship evolution and the slow process of what they believe, not just micro but macro evolution, where basically, you know, nothing explodes. They had amoebas and it slowly became humans over time and everything like that. But could you not look at verse 23 and apply that to all these religions that worship animals and have these half God, half humans that they worship? I mean, the very obvious one is obviously Hinduism, because they worship a lot of half human, half animals. Like, they worship Ganesh is one of their big ones, which is like like an elephant head, and it's got the body of a human. And it's just like, you know, Hinduism worships all kinds of animals. They worship rats, they worship cows. And it's funny, you know, they'll say, well, we don't worship them, you know, we just, you know, and yet you see these same people, they'll bow down. Like, there's this video online, I showed some of you guys, where there's this older lady, she's like in front of a cow and just praying in front of that cow, and she's getting all emotional, and she's like, I don't know if she's burning incense or something, she's giving like an offering to the cow, but she's not worshiping the cow. She's bowing down and praying right before the cow, but she's not worshiping it. Would this verse not apply to Hinduism, where they worship animals? But it's not just Hinduism. I would say most of the religions of the world, they worship animal-type gods. Most religions in the world. Now, the reason why we don't really think of that is because Christianity does not do that. Islam does not do that either, as far as I'm aware. And those are pretty big populations. Those are kind of the famous religions. But it's not just Hinduism that does this. It's like in Taoism, which supposedly they don't even really believe in God over in China. They worship like the monkey god. It's like, well, what in the world are you worshiping a monkey for? It's just like, and then all these religions, or you could look at Zoroastrianism or the Baha'i faith. These religions that worship nature and everything like that. And they're worshiping the creature rather than the creator. They're worshiping what's been created instead of the one that actually created this. And look, all these religions that are worshiping Mother Earth and things like that, this would certainly apply to them as well, okay? This does not mean that people that are in those religions are automatically these wicked, evil people, but if you choose to reject what God says, no matter what religion you come from, you're gonna go down that road of hating the true God. Now, a lot of these people are very spiritual, but they still hate the God of the Bible. It doesn't matter how many gods they believe in or how spiritual they are. If they reject the God of the Bible, they're going to go down that road that it's talking about in Romans chapter 1. So look, verse 23 could certainly apply to not just atheists. It could apply to these religions that are worshiping these animals. Even in the Bible, you've got like Dagon's like a fish god.
Right.
I mean, Dagon's like the body of a fish. I believe in the body of a human, I think. The body of a fish and the head of a human. And it's like they're worshiping, like the Philistines, that was their god that, you know, basically was fallen over, the head gone. And it's just like, it's like a fish god. So look, throughout history, these heathen cultures have worshipped animals as gods and worshipped nature, okay? And in most countries, when you look at the people that are natives of the country, and in the Philippines as well, they worship just Mother Nature. There's religions out there that are still just worshiping Mother Nature here in the Philippines. It's just been the religion for thousands of years. And it's like, look, they're worshiping the creation. They're not worshiping the one who actually created this world, though. Notice what it says in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. So what verse 24 is talking about is that the people that he's specifically referring to, these are people that in their own heart have lusts, unclean lusts, things that are wrong, and they're using that reason to choose to reject the God of the Bible. And eventually God can reach a point where he says, you know what? Go ahead and do whatever you want. I'm done with you. I don't care anymore. Then it says, he gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And so there's people that are basically harming their own body between themselves, and he's going to give more information on that. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And so the Bible says there are people that are worshiping and serving the creature more than the creator. There's religions out there that believe that we're going to become a god one day. Okay? And it's, I mean, Mormonism believes that. So-called Christianity right there, that we can become gods one day. And it's like they're worshiping what's created as opposed to the person who actually created it. Now, isn't that foolish to be obsessed with worshiping the mountain when someone created that mountain? But it's like people reject the God of the Bible and they worship what's been created instead of God. And these people go down this road where they become bad people, okay? Notice what it says here in verse number 26. Look, throughout history, you have the Egyptian gods. And when you look at the 10 plagues that were on Egypt, they were really all just God rebuking one of the false gods of Egypt. Their frog god, and I don't know the names, but all these different false gods they had. And I mean, Egypt, they basically had all these animal gods, and they worshiped the Nile River and everything like that. And yeah, you know what? The Nile River made Egypt rich. It made it powerful. But it's like, you know, God put you beside that river. That river didn't create itself, okay? You can think of God's people in the Old Testament. They worship a golden calf. Now, where do you think they learned that practice from? Probably from Egypt. Probably from the heathen cultures. I mean, where in the Bible do you see, hey, you need to worship a golden calf? And so look, this idea of worshiping these animals instead of the Creator as gods, look, this has been throughout history. And nothing's new. It's just here in the Philippines, it's not really like that. It's not like that in the U.S. either. But around the world, cultures are worshiping animals and Mother Nature, and they're rejecting the God of the Bible. Verse number 26. For this cause, or for this reason, for this cause, because of this, God gave them up unto vile affections. What the Bible says is, you know what? God saw this, that they were rejecting Him, and God said, you know what? I'm going to give you up to your vile or wicked or what, nakakadiri, disgusting habits and affections and things that you want. That's what the Bible's saying here. I'm going to give you up onto those vile affections. These are people that are not good people. They have wrong desires and they hate the rules of the Bible. So they choose to become bad people. And as a result, they reject the God of the Bible. Now, some of these people would claim to be Christians, though. They would say they're Christians, but if you show them anything in the Bible, they don't agree with this or this or this or this. So they're just kind of pretending to be Christians, but they don't believe anything the Bible says. Okay, they hate the actual God of the Bible. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. You say, what is that referring to in verse 26? The Bible says the natural use into that which is against nature. What the Bible's saying is, I gave you natural desires, not wicked desires, not unnormal and weird desires. I gave you natural desires, but it says these women are doing things that are against nature, against what God naturally gave you a desire to do. You say, what is that referring to? Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. What the Bible says here in verse 26 and verse 27, it talks about these men who are lusting after other men. And the Bible says that is against nature. It's not normal. You know what the Bible's trying to teach you? Every single person in this world, every single man is born with natural desires. This is how you're born through nature. This is what He gave you innately. And no guy naturally is attracted to another guy. You know, you have these people that say, I was born gay. No, you weren't.
Right.
Not according to the Bible. Because according to the Bible, you have natural desires and they're doing things that are against nature. There's not a single homo on the planet that was born that way.
Right.
Not a single one. See, according to the Bible, that is against nature. It's not normal. Amen. And look, it doesn't matter if they tell you, I've always been this way. They're lying to you.
Right.
These are people that are bad people. They have no problem lying to you. I remember there's this guy from the hometown I grew up in, Bridgeport, West Virginia. And this guy in elementary school was just a normal kid, didn't think anything of it. And then just about like, you know, 1 year, just the way he talked, the way he walked, just everything was different. You know, he just talked differently. He talked with this massive, you know, lisp and everything. He walked like a woman and everything. Just everything changed about him. It's like, and he claims he was born that way. Now, how is it that everybody knew you for like a dozen years and you were completely normal? Nobody would have suspected that you were a homo. And then all of a sudden, boom, you just act bizarre and different and weird. Why? Because he wasn't born that way.
Right, right.
He became that way. He chose to go that direction. But see, according to God's word, this is against nature. It talks about the natural use, saying not a single homo was actually born that way. Not a single one of them. They're not born that way. Why? Because God did not create you that way. God created men. Boys at a young age, before they have that desire, but when they reach that age, they're going to start to desire and find women attractive, not other boys.
Right.
The same with women. They're created with a natural desire, and then they're going to reach an age where they're going to start finding guys attractive. They're not going to find women attractive, okay? That is against nature. It's not the natural use. God did not create them that way. Not a single person was born that way. God created people normal, straight, okay? Notice what it says in verse, at the end of that verse of 27. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And what the Bible's saying is that, look, these people, they receive the wrath of God. And you can look at all the STDs that are out there. Look, when people live lifestyles like that, they don't live very long lives. When they live unclean and filthy lives, they get filled with a bunch of STDs, whether it's AIDS or the other STDs that are out there. And generally, these people, they will die in their 40s. They'll die at the age of 50. It says the wicked man should not live out half his days, according to the Bible. And these people generally live a very, very short life. They don't live a long life, because when you go against what God's word is and live a wicked life, it's an unhealthy life. It's not just spiritually wicked and spiritually filthy, it's physically filthy, and it will kill you, okay? Now, turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. I mean, even if you look at a sin like fornication, I remember a long time ago in a sermon I talked about a basketball player by the name of Wilt Chamberlain, who was considered the greatest athlete, in my opinion, the last 100 years, greatest athlete who ever lived, Wilt Chamberlain. Just an amazing athlete. I mean, he retires from basketball. He's the greatest volleyball player in the world then. And he was like an expert at high jump and track and field and all this stuff. And he was like, I mean, and he wanted to fight Muhammad Ali. You know, it's like, man, the thrill in Manila could have had Muhammad Ali versus, you know, Wilt Chamberlain. He was in, and they were wondering, could he actually win? Because he's fast, he's strong, he's tall and everything. Greatest athlete, perhaps, the last 100 years or of all time, once sports really became big. And this guy, one thing he was very famous for was the fact that he slept with, you know, he bragged about sleeping with tens of thousands of women. I can't remember the exact number, just some ridiculous amount. But he bragged with sleeping with all these women. And everybody knew that about Wilt Chamberlain. He always bragged about that, how he just slept with, like, I don't know, 20 women every single week, 1,000 women a year or whatever. And he bragged and bragged and bragged about it. And what I talked about in that article, it was an article written by a doctor, if you remember this. And it wasn't my words, but the doctor was going through all the symptoms he had because he had heart attacks at a young age. He was having heart attacks when he was in his late 20s, and he was like the greatest athlete in the entire world. It's like, how do you have a heart attack when you're the greatest athlete in the world at that age? And what the doctor said is the only thing with the 20 different possibilities was it was probably an infection caused because he was fornicating with a bunch of women. And the doctor said, it wasn't even a Christian doctor, at the end of the article, he said, the bottom line is this, it proves that, you know, fornication has a punishment or something like that. He basically said the reason why, and Wilt Chamberlain died a long time ago, died at a pretty young age for a really great athlete. Why did he die? Well, according to that doctor, because he slept with a lot of women. Why? That's filthy.
Right.
It's not healthy. When you live a sinful life, there's going to be a punishment to that. But how much more if you're not just sleeping with women as a guy, but you're sleeping with guys? It's even more filthy and more disgusting. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but you know, the average homosexual sleeps with like at least hundreds of people in their lifetime. It's like many of them, like 25%, they sleep with multiple people every single week. I mean, to them, it's like no big deal. They just go to bars, pick up people. It's very common in their lifestyle. Okay, I've said this story before, but I remember one time that I was going running in West Virginia, and whenever I go running, when I get to the last 100 yards, I sprint the final bit, you know, and I'm exhausted. And I remember I sprinted by this guy, and like he said something to me, just hello or something, I don't know. And I would always have a habit of inviting people to church, you know, when I meet him in public. I said, hey, you know, you should come to our church one time. It's located here and everything. And then the guy's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And then he said, you know, yeah, and you know, if you ever want to come by some night, you know, me and my roommate, and this guy's like in his 40s, and it is very obvious, like what he was saying, it's like, I don't even know this guy. It's like I invited this guy to church, and he's pretty much asking, you know, hey, if you want to hook up with me and my roommate. It's like, what is wrong with those people? Like, what kind of a person would actually do that? And look, there's plenty of people that have very similar stories. I don't know if they act the same aggressively here in the Philippines, but in the U.S., pretty much everyone I know has stories like that. And it's just like, what in the world? I mean, a guy, and look, if you're a guy that does that to a girl, that's disgusting.
Right.
That's filthy. A girl you don't even know and you're asking her to come over to your bedroom. It's like you met her 5 seconds ago. It's like, what's wrong with you? It's like guys that do that, that's disgusting. But you know what? That is their lifestyle. That's normal to them. And they receive in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. So what does the Bible say about these people? We're going to see a word here in Jeremiah 6, and we'll go back to Romans 1 when it talks about this. But there's a word that's not very common in today's world. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30. One thing we need to understand about the Bible is that the Bible defines itself. It teaches you what it's saying. God does not want to confuse you. He wants you to know what His words are. He wants you to understand all of it, okay? And what it says in Jeremiah 6, verse 30 is this: reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them.
Amen.
So reprobate silver, and then it says the Lord hath rejected them. So the word reprobate means rejected. You can look it up in a dictionary. It's going to tell you the same thing. Reprobate means rejected. What does reprobate silver mean? Well, look, when people mine for silver and they find silver, it's not in the form that it is later on. They get silver, but they also get a lot of bad materials in there that are useless, that have no value. So basically, if you mine and you get silver, 90% of what you get is just like garbage. Like most of it's not even very good. So they have a very long, complicated process to basically burn off the dross, burn off the part that's useless, that has no value, because silver has a lot of value. Look, if I gave you like this big bucket of silver, it's going to be worth some money. But like, it's not going to be worth a lot of money if there's only a little bit of silver inside and there's a bunch of rocks and gravel and things like that. So there's a complicated process they go through where they basically burn off the part that's not good. And what you would call that is basically reprobate silver, because that's the silver that has no value. It's the part that had absolutely no value that they got rid of. Okay? It's rejected because you're not going to try to sell a rock and expect to make money off of it. Now, you'll sell silver and make money. So they have to burn off the part that's bad. And see, what the Bible's saying is these people, they were normal people at first, but basically God rejected them. He said, you were normal, you were part of this, but now you're rejected and I'm done with you. It says, the Lord hath rejected them. Go back to Romans 1. The Lord hath rejected them. And so I want you to understand, when we're talking about these people in Romans 1, it talks about these people when they're reprobate, that basically they're rejected by God, okay? What you need to understand, though, when you're reading Romans 1, is that these people already rejected God.
Right.
They rejected God before God rejected them.
Right.
We saw that in Romans chapter 1, that they chose to hate God's word. They rejected God over and over and over and over again. And it can come to the point where basically God says, you know what, I'm done with you. I'm going to give you over to your lusts, your vile affections. It's like you, everything that's said to them, they hate God's word. They blaspheme God's word. And God says, you know what, I'm done with you. It's at the point where now I have rejected you. Now, realize these people, Jesus died for them and paid for all of their sins. And God loved them. But it reached a point where they rejected God over and over and over again. And see, the Bible speaks about people where He says, I will love you no more.
Right.
That's what the Bible teaches, because these people have rejected God so much, and now they hate the God of the Bible. And God says, you know what? It's reached a point where I've given you lots of chances. See, here's what you need to understand. God is the God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance. It does not mean God is the God of the 5,000th chance. Okay?
Right.
It's like, you know, and look, when we give the gospel to people that are unsaved, they can hear the gospel over and over again and they can reject it, but they can eventually get saved. But look, that doesn't mean that they have a free pass their whole life, that they can hear the gospel every single day and say, I don't care, I think that's ridiculous, that's foolish. But then they'll always, to the end of their life, have that opportunity. Some people can reach a point where they no longer have that opportunity. Now, you might say, Brother Stuckey, I've never heard this before, but let me explain something to you. Do you believe that God created somebody as a pedophile? Ask yourself that question. Do you believe God created somebody with the desire to murder a bunch of people and be a serial killer? Who knows Jeffrey Dahmer? He's the most famous serial killer in American history. This is a guy who murdered, I don't know, like 20 people or whatever. And he became famous not just for killing them, but because of how he killed them and what he did. Now, this guy was an open homosexual. Most famous serial killer in American history was an open homosexual, and he was murdering other homosexuals. And, you know, he murdered these people, and he kept their body parts. Okay, that's why he became famous. He had a lamp of their skin. Okay, it's disgusting. I'm not going to say any more about that, but that's who Jeffrey Dahmer was. That's why he became famous. When he got caught, all around his apartment, it's just the most disgusting thing you could possibly imagine. He was a freak. He was a weirdo. But do you believe God created him that way? I don't. I believe God created that person with normal, natural desires. And look, when you go down that road of just sleeping with a bunch of guys, you're just going to get more weird and more disgusting and more filthy. That's not normal. And God did not create Jeffrey Dahmer like that. God created him as a normal person who Jesus died for, and he loved them, and he paid for their sins. And we could have reached that kid on the street when he was 10 years old, given him the gospel. He could have gotten saved, but he never got saved. And he ended up hating the truth of God's word due to things that happened in his life. And then all of a sudden, he eventually hated God, and he became a serial killer and a wicked, disgusting person. But I don't believe God created him that way. Now, if you believe God created people as pedophiles and serial killers, then hey, go join Calvinism, because that's what they teach, okay? That's not what we believe. I believe God created people as normal people, and he died for all of their sins, and he loved them, and he paid for their sins. But people can choose to become bad people, and God can eventually reject them, okay? Let me explain to you a difference here. And we'll go through these verses here in a second. But look, all of us, we have, you know, various wrong desires and things that we do that are wrong. Look, lying is something that everybody's done. Is that not true? Every single person in this world, let God be true, but every man a liar. And every woman, okay? Every man, every woman, we've all lied. And you know what? It's a natural thing that people do. It's wrong. But kids at a young age will be dishonest to try to get out of trouble. Anyone who has kids knows that at a very young age. Just, you don't have to teach kids to lie. They've learned that on their own just from birth, okay? They know that. You don't have to teach them to lie. There's certain wrong desires that kids will have. I mean, a guy who's 20 years old, or he's going to have natural desires toward women, and he can think wrong thoughts or lust after women. That's a normal desire. It's wrong to do that, but it's something that's normal. But look, having a desire to kill people, that's not normal.
Right.
That's weird. And see, the Bible says these people, their minds are warped. They're gone. It says their conscience is seared with a hot iron. So we have a conscience where there's certain things that you would never do just for the fact that they're, you know, not just disgusting, but you would feel guilty and wrong about it. But it says they don't have a conscience, and they do things that no person would ever do. You look at the Catholic priests and the things they do to these little kids, it's just like nobody would even have that normal desire. That's not born into you. But they chose to reject God and hate God's word, and they became those people. Okay? And look, when we run into a lot of kids in the street, you know, our church, we give them the gospel. We don't just bring random kids in here for safety purposes and many reasons. But we give them the gospel when we run into them on the streets. I love talking to 12-year-olds on the street because they're very receptive to the gospel. They often get saved, and we love them. We care about them. We would love to have them bring their parents so they could come here for their services and be with us. But we try to give these kids the gospel on the street. But the reality is, if you see 20 kids here soul winning on Sunday, 20 kids out and about, I promise you, of those 20 people, many of them have been molested before. You say, why? Because a large percentage of people have been molested. It's happening at churches. It's happening at, you know, governmental institutions where there's too much trust and people are just throwing off their kids to people they don't know. It happens a lot. And I'll tell you what, when they're young, you can still reach them. But in their heart, especially if it happens a lot, they can choose to end up hating God and rejecting God. And whenever you hear these stories about these people, they say, yeah, you know what? I remember I was molested when I was 8 years old, and what happens is the person who's been molested ends up becoming the molester. And I feel bad for them when it happens at a young age, but look, I don't feel sorry for someone who's currently a pedophile. I feel bad when it happens at a young age, and we need to reach them then, but when they become the pedophile, they become wicked, evil people. That's the choice they made. And look, they're rejected by God. It's not normal to have those desires. It says in Romans 1, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So these people don't want to know the truth about God's word. And it says this, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Remember, a rejected mind. To do those things which are not convenient. So God says, you know what? Basically with some people, you've reached the point, I'm done with you. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. You're done. And yes, he died for them. He loved them. But you know what? Look, realize this. People that are in hell, they're in hell because God does not love them anymore.
Right.
Look, you don't throw people in hell that you love. And God loved all of those people at one time, but look, when he throws them in hell forever, the Bible says the wrath of God, not the love of God.
Right.
The wrath of God abideth on them. Why? Because the reality is he doesn't love them anymore.
No.
He died for them, he cared for them, he paid for their sins, but when they reach that point, God says, you know what? I don't love you anymore. Okay? Realize that can happen before they die though. Now, it's not common to happen, but it does happen sometimes. Verse 29. Notice the characteristics of these people. Being filled with all. Now notice this word filled, okay? When it says they're filled, that means they're completely filled with these desires. We're going to go over a lot of these things real quickly. And most of these things are things that you and I could be guilty of. It doesn't mean that you're filled with these things, okay? It says being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Now, malicious means intending to do evil, okay? Now, is it true that sometimes we do things that are wrong and evil and we harm people in some ways? Yeah, but you know, we're not filled with it. We're basically, we desire to harm people. I mean, there's something wrong with you if you desire to just harm people and you enjoy it when people break their legs or people are crying out for torment. There's something wrong with you. Okay? Look, we're not filled with those desires, but the Bible says, you know what? There's people that are filled with this, okay? Being filled with these things. It mentions covetousness. Now, is it true that all of us can be covetous from time to time? Absolutely. But when you're filled with covetousness, you know what that means? If you could kill someone and get away with it for $1 million, that you would do it. Now, would you murder someone for money if you could get away with it? You wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. These people would do it. Okay? There's people that have no conscience because they're filled with covetousness. They'll do whatever they can to get all this money. They would be willing to kill for money if they wouldn't get caught. See, that's what you have to understand. Like in Sodom and Gomorrah or in Judges 19, where every man does that which is right in his own eyes, there's basically no law, no authority. People can get away with whatever. And guess what the result is? They do whatever they want. And the weirdest chapters of the Bible are from Judges 17 to 21. The weirdest, most disgusting things. Why? Because everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no king. There was no judgment. There was no law. And look, if there was no law, it would be absolute chaos.
Right.
Now look, you need to realize this. Our government is not perfect. No government is righteous or perfect. But I want you to realize something. Our government's not righteous and perfect, but you know, it's better to have a government that's not perfect than basically no government at all. Look, if you just had anarchy and no rules and no government whatsoever, it would be like Judges chapter 17 through 21. That is what the world would be like. And I understand we get mad at things the government says sometimes. If there was no government, it would be Judges 17 through 21. That's what we see. If it was anarchy, because some people say anarchy is a good thing, no government whatsoever. If there's no government and no rules, there's going to be rapes, there's going to be murders, there's going to be all these wicked things. How do you know that? That's what it says in Judges.
Right.
Everyone did that which was right in his own eyes.
Right.
It's better to have rules that you don't always like, oh, I got to wear a mask in public. You know what? It's better to have that rule than no government at all.
Right.
It would be chaos in this world if there were no rules whatsoever. And look, our governments are never going to be perfect, but if you have no rules, if you have the anarchist system, you got the last five chapters in the book of Judges. And tell me that's the world you want to live in. The weirdest chapters in the Bible. Notice what it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. So being filled with all unrighteousness, being filled with all fornication,
right,
being filled with all wickedness, being filled with all covetousness. Is it true that some people fornicate, which means sleep together before they're married? Yes, that does take place. But the Bible says these people are filled with it. The Bible's saying these people, it's like, you know, several times a week, no big deal. Okay? It's not something where they just did something that was wrong. It's something that's just their lifestyle. They're just filled with those desires. Okay? Then it says, full of envy. Is it true we can be envious from time to time? Yeah, it's true we can be envious from time to time. But look, when you're full of envy, you're going to be a bad person. Okay? That's what these people are. Then it says, murder. Full of murder. Now look, I don't know about you, I've never killed anybody before. Okay, I hope that you've never killed anybody. Now, the Bible does say if you have hate without a cause, you know, toward your brother, you're guilty of murder in your heart. That's still in the heart though, okay? It's like, that's wrong, but that's better than actually doing it. These people are full of murder. The only reason why they don't kill a bunch of people is they're gonna get in trouble for it. That's the only reason why. I came to this realization 3 years ago when I already knew this, I think it was 4 years ago, but it just kind of really drove home this point. I remember we were in Sacramento and there's the big Orlando protest. You know, if you don't know about that, I'll tell you after the service, I'll tell you all about it. But it's like, you know, we were protested, you know, our church by like 500 sodomites. And I remember just, you know, and there's about 25 policemen. It's kind of interesting because all the 25 policemen were just kind of hanging out by the wall doing nothing. And they weren't even watching anything that was taking place because they didn't want to take part in it. And a lot of the policemen had rainbow bracelets on. It's like, this really makes me feel safe, right? But I remember I just came to this realization that the only reason why these people don't do what they did in Genesis 19 is because they might get caught and be thrown in jail. That's the only reason why they didn't just murder all of us. That's what the Bible teaches. They're full of murder. That's what these people, look at Genesis 19. We'll see that in the second sermon a little bit. They have those desires. It's disgusting. It's filthy. That is how they are. You say, Brother Stuckey, this doesn't logically make sense to me. It does not logically make sense to you because your conscience is not seared. It does not logically make sense to me either. This does not make sense to me because I have a conscience. I see a little child that gets hurt and you know you're horrified. You know, if your son, you know, falls, when you're a parent and your son falls and hits his head, you're really scared. That's my normal desire, but these people, they don't have that in their minds because their conscience is seared according to the Bible. They're full of envy. They're full of murder. They're full of debate. You say, Brother Stuckey, are you going to ever debate these, you know, all these false prophets? No. Okay? And if they're full of debate, it makes me wonder about them. It's like maybe they're not just unsaved. Maybe they're just twice dead. Okay? Full of debate, full of deceit, basically full of lies, full of malignity, whispers. Then it says backbiters. These are people that are basically a little bit of chismes, right? A little bit of gossip, okay? Backbiters. And so you say, Brother Stuckey, I thought these people were nice people. I mean, all the homos I know, they act so friendly and nice. They're fake.
Right.
They're lying to you. They're not nice. On the inside, they're bad people. I know people in the U.S. that have worked with homos, and they act very friendly to people when they're doing customer service and everything. And then right when they're gone, they're like the most evil, wicked people. They say just really terrible things. And it's just like, they're just being fake.
Right.
They're being phony. A lot of people are just lying to you. And they're full of deceit, full of lies according to the Bible. They're just lying to you. Okay? Then it says this, haters of God. They hate God. You say, but Brother Stuckey, there's homosexual pastors out there, okay? But they hate the God of the Bible, though.
Right.
I didn't say they don't believe there's a God. I said they hate the God of the Bible, okay? They're haters of the God of the Bible. Even if they claim to be Christian, they don't like God's rules. They hate the God of the Bible. They're despiteful. They're proud. Think of gay pride. They're boasters. They're inventors of evil things. Whenever I think of inventors of evil things, I think during the Dark Ages when the Roman Catholic Church killed 50 million people. And they didn't just stone them to death like the Bible says. They invented evil, disgusting, sick things for how they murdered people. And look, I've mentioned it in other sermons. And look, you know what? You're welcome to, if you want to check on Google, you know, the methods they use. But, you know, it will horrify you. I mean, it pains you even to read about it. Just thinking about the methods they came up with. And here's the thing. I remember this thing, Inventors of Evil Things. I remember seeing this list of the 10 biggest, most evil methods they used to murder people. And there were only two of them I had ever heard of before. One was burning to death, because that's something that obviously people have been burned to death and you become desensitized to it. There's one other one, I can't remember what it was, that I'd heard of before. The other eight that I heard of, not only had I never heard of it, I thought to myself, I wouldn't have even been able to invent that.
Right.
It's like, why would they even come up with these disgusting, wicked, perverted, sick things? Why? Because they're bad people. Okay, inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. Covenant breakers means they make promises and they don't keep them. They're covenant breakers. Without natural affection. So they don't have the natural affection that we would have towards, like, you see a baby that falls and hits their head. You're going to be scared for that child. They don't have natural affection. If somebody runs out and gets hit by a car out here, our natural reaction is to be horrified and we're scared for them, right? They can go through the motions and be like, oh. But the reason why they're doing that is because they're trying to do what is socially acceptable, not because they actually have affection. They're faking it. They are without natural affection. Implacable. Implacable basically means they cannot be soothed. You cannot meet them halfway. If you say you give in to one thing, they're going to want more and more and more and more and more. They're implacable. Unmerciful. You think of a child being molested. You think of the person who would do that. They're unmerciful to do something like that. Someone, a child's crying out for help. They're unmerciful, though. Unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgments of God. So these are people that know what God says about this. They know the truth of God's word. Remember, they hold it in unrighteousness. They consider God's word to be evil. They consider it wrong. They know the judgment of God. They know the Bible teaches hell. They know that what they're doing is wrong according to the Bible, but they consider that unrighteous. They don't like God's laws. They know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought everyone always said that it was just an Old Testament thing where the Bible says the penalty for these people is a death penalty. Now look, this is not the law of our country, and we're not going to put this into place because that is the government's job to do whatever they want to whatever crimes. They make the choices to what you do to a drug dealer or a murderer or whatever sin. They make those choices. We don't fight a physical battle. We fight a spiritual battle. We're not trying to bring in the kingdom. That's Jesus's job. You know, he's going to bring it in once the world becomes so wicked. But I want you to realize this. It doesn't change what they're worthy of according to the Bible. God did not change his opinion of it just because the world changed their opinion. It says they're worthy of death, but notice this, not only do the same, not only do they do these things, but have pleasure in them that do them. Not only do they take an enjoyment of killing someone, they take pleasure when somebody else kills someone. I mean, you'd be horrified if you picked up the paper and saw that 1,000 people got murdered yesterday here in Pasig, wouldn't you? They would like that, though. Why? They not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. They want people to do the same things that they do. Why? Because they want people to justify their actions. Right. If they're doing something wicked, you want somebody else to be doing it as well. And they live wicked lifestyles. They want other people to do the same thing. An example I know of this was when I worked in the U.S. I worked as a math teacher in the U.S. And I remember I was at an event, and it was like a school function. They were reaching out to the community. And our school was very, very LGBT friendly. They had programs at the school and everything. That's a large reason why I really didn't like the job because of that. But I remember seeing this woman in the crowd. Okay, I'm using that term very loosely. This woman, this lady in the crowd, okay? I remember seeing this woman in the crowd, and she had a shirt on. And the shirt had a rainbow on it. Six colored rainbow as opposed to the red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Ask my son. He'll tell you the rainbow, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. A lot of people haven't figured that out. It's not blue, purple. It's blue, indigo, violet. But this shirt had six colors, right? The symbol of the sodomites. And it had one word on it. Recruiter. Now, what do you think that's saying? It's saying she wants to recruit people to be sodomites.
Right.
Now, here's the thing about this. According to the Bible in verse 32, and look, when I saw that shirt, because I can't do anything. I work, you know, for the school. It's like, I can't say anything or whatever. But on the inside, I was so angry. But, you know, she was just actually being honest with what the Bible says in Romans 1, verse 32. Because what the Bible says is they have pleasure in them that do them. These people, they want the whole world to become a bunch of sodomites. They don't want it to be just 2%. They want it to be 20%, 30, 40, 50. They want everybody to hate God. They want everybody to go down that road. That's the only time I've ever seen that shirt. But one word, recruiter, I was so angry because what she was saying is, I have a goal to recruit you to being a sodomite. And it's just like, you know, at least she was being honest with what she actually said and what she actually believed. But let me say this in closing, because look, we're just going verse by verse through Romans. This wasn't really a planned sermon because I know I've talked about this recently. But here's what I want you to understand. God did not create people that way, though. Amen. God created those people with normal desires. Look, you know, we have many people that are married in this room, you know, many guys, many husbands in this room, and guess what? You have always, from a young age, just found women attractive. Right. You didn't find guys attractive. Right. You didn't find animals attractive. You didn't find little kids attractive. Okay? And it's like, you know what? These people, though, they aren't like that. It's like they were born just like you were, and yet they changed. And you know, this is how they're trying to justify pedophilia now, because I personally think that pedophilia is the worst possible sin you can think of. Far worse than murder, in my opinion. I think that's the worst thing to even think of. But you know, what they're trying to justify that now is they say that, well, a pedophile is not much different than you. I mean, when you were 12 years old as a guy, you found 12-year-old girls attractive. The only difference is, as you got older, you started to find older women attractive, and they just kept finding 12-year-olds attractive. So when they're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, so they're not much different than you. I mean, you found 12-year-olds attractive 20 years ago. Look, that's weird.
Right.
That's disgusting. But you know, our world is trying to justify pedophilia. And you know, you might say there's no way that would ever happen. Look, you know, that's what you could have used to say about homosexuality.
Right.
Because the world thought this was disgusting and weird and perverted. The world had rejected that lifestyle for most of history. And yet in the last 20 years, I mean, obviously I was in the U.S. 20 years ago, but you guys have told me 20 years ago in this country,
yeah,
it wasn't like this at all.
Right.
Now, though, just 20 years later, man, the world's changing. It's really hard to see what the world's going to be like in 20 years. And let me tell you something. The only way to break your cycle from being brainwashed by the world is to renew your mind with God's Word.
Amen.
Which means you put off the TV and distractions that the world has to offer. You read this book. You hear good preaching. You memorize God's Word. Because otherwise, even as a saved person, you will end up getting brainwashed by the world. Let's close in a word of prayer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and just getting to see your word. And we love all of your word. Every single verse, every single word is great. And there are things in the Bible that are not the most pleasant to talk about. They're not the most pleasant to preach about or to think about. But unfortunately, due to the world we live in, we must preach on these things. We must talk about these things. This is the world we live in. And help all of us at our church to be aware of what God says and not to be brainwashed by the world, God, but to be renewed by your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.